Welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast with me, Maya Fisher-French.
And with me, Mapalo Maku.
Each week, we'll be discussing the stories we're working on and which you can read more about in the City Press.
All right, Maya. So this week, we are talking about the balloon payment, that residual payment. You know what? I think we've spoken about it before, but it keeps coming up over and over and over again. And, you know, people have different thoughts about this, and we'll get into that. But what is a balloon payment, Maya? Let's explain it. What is a balloon payment?
Okay, so it's not balloons you buy for a birthday party. And it's not the balloons you find when you buy the car. You know, when you go to buy it, you get a new car, sometimes all they see, they put balloons on them. Okay, that's not what it is.
By the way, do you get to pay for those balloons, right?
I think you do.
Nothing's for free.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is a balloon payment?
So this whole balloon payment is basically allows someone to buy a car they can't afford. It's that simple. Okay. So what happens is they say to you, okay, you walk into a dealer and the dealer says, you say, that's the car of my dreams. And the dealer says to you, oh, that's 500,000 Rand. And you do your calculation and you work out that it's going to cost you over 5 years, about just over 11,000 Rand a month. And you say, oh, I can't afford that.
And the dealer says,
don't worry, I have a solution. We'll turn it into balloon payments. What we'll do is you'll only have to pay off 350,000 Rand over those 5 years. And we'll take 150,000 Rand of that purchase and we'll lob it off at the end. So you only have to pay it in 5 years' time. So now suddenly, instead of spending whatever it would have been, 11,400 a month, my monthly installment drops to 9,700 Rand a month. Doesn't that sound like a wonderful deal?
It's so affordable. I can afford my dream car.
Exactly. And that's what happens to everyone who walks into a dealership and falls for a balloon payment trap. But of course, Mapalo, you and I know that nothing is for free. And that when you choose to pay something later, it costs you substantially more.
Absolutely. And Maya, remember my story, I went to a dealership and they said, no, we can work something for you. We can work around it. And they meant that balloon payment. So I would have 150,000 staring at me in the future in 5 years' time.
Okay, so, and that gets even better. So not only, so now you're paying your 9,700 Rand, you're driving around, you're looking so super cool because you've got the car of your dreams. Everyone thinks you're so much richer than you really are. You're probably, to be honest, struggling to meet the 9,700 Rand a month by the time you've realized how much your car's costing you in petrol and insurance. But beside the point, you're now driving around in this car. At the end of the 5 years, you suddenly are whacked. You've got to find 150,000 Rand. But it's worse than that, because actually what nobody tells you is that, of course, that 150,000 Rand still attracts interest. So you are going to be spending, I did the calculations, over that 5 years, you will actually end up spending 48,000 Rand more. So by the time you add up all those installments, plus the 150,000 Rand that you'll owe at the end of the 5 year period, that car is actually costing you 48,000 Rand more than if you paid the full amount, you know, over the 5 year period. So in other words, if you get the installments at 11,400. So that's the problem, is that it's costing you 48,000 Rand in extra in interest. I mean, just to put that in context, that's an extra 10,000 Rand a year that you're going to be paying in interest. And then you've got to find 150,000 Rand. And of course, Mapalo, most people do not have the 150,000 Rand after 5 years.
I mean, that is why they couldn't afford it in the first place. Now, where are you meant to get 150,000 at the end of 5 years? And, you know, Maya, also just behavior, you know, people normally don't think, oh, I have a balloon payment at such a time, so let me put some money away for that, for when that time comes. People kind of leave it and, you know, I'll figure it out.
I'll have a bonus. I'll win the lotto. I'll have a salary increase.
Okay. But let's go back, Maya, because you said now you will pay 48,000 Rand more. How is that possible? How do I get to pay 48,000 more when now my amount per month is reduced And I'm thinking it should be the same interest rate that they would have charged you either way. So how do I get to pay 48,000 Rand more?
Because you're not reducing that 150,000 Rand balance. So remember, it's still accruing interest and you're paying that interest every single month. But normally, if you were paying it off over the full 11,400, you'd be dipping into that capital because you'd be paying off some of it every month. So what happens is that 150,000 sits there still earning interest, but you're not reducing it at all. So that full interest amount due on the 150,000, but instead of, obviously they don't add the interest to the 150,000 because your balloon payment would be even a bigger balloon. But you're paying off, you're effectively paying the interest on that 150,000 Rand as part of your monthly repayment. So that's really where it comes in. So it costs you, these balloon payments basically should be legal. And in my view, it is absolutely no reason, there is no sane reason in the whole world to take a balloon payment. It only ends people up in financial difficulty. And you know, I was chatted to actually MFC, Nedbank's financing division, for this article that's in the City Press. Yes. It's got all the calculations and explains it. Because I was getting people saying to me, oh, but I don't understand. I've paid my car off ahead of time. So why is there still a balloon payment? There's this total lack of understanding that this balloon payment is owed. It doesn't matter. Yeah, it's part of that original purchase price and you have to pay it back. So I said to them, well, what are your options? Obviously on D-Day, you know, after five years. So obviously you, like you said, you've got to pay 150,000 Rand over to the bank. In most cases, and I can't remember the stat, but it's something like 90% of the time people can't pay it.
So, of course they can't.
Exactly. So what did the bank say? They say, don't worry, you can refinance it.
Of course.
And I kid you not, you can refinance it over 12 years. I'm reading this. 12 months.
Wait.
Yeah.
How long?
Another. So you can basically refinance it up to another 4 years.
Huh? Wait. Yes. Wait, Maya. So for a car, that would have, I should be paying off at least in 5 years. So now we're adding another 4, making me pay for a freaking car for 9 years.
For 9 years. And remember, this is just interest, and fees and interest.
I'm not laughing.
You can basically come along, you're laughing. So now it's still there, 9 years later, that car of your dreams. It's so no longer the car of your dreams.
Exactly. No longer the car of your dreams, so you're still paying this thing off.
You're still paying it off. This car is going to cost you forever. You know what? And the problem is, once you are caught in it, you can't get out because now what are you going to do? You know, the car is going to be worth less than you owe on it for at least for the first 3 years. So to try and exit these deals is incredibly difficult. And especially on non-balloon payment, the car is probably, and in fact, the other problem is that they even said to me, you know, obviously what a lot of people do is if they don't want to refinance for another 1 to 4 years.
I was about to ask, what other options are there other than refinancing?
Well, then you have to sell the car and settle that amount. Okay. And you've got to also hope that the car is still worth the balloon payment. You know, if you've had an accident, or the car is, you didn't service it on time, or all those sorts of things, and suddenly you've got to fork out, you know, you may not be able to get it. So remember, after what's happened after 5 years, you've paid off a car and you no longer have a car. That's the one option. There's no car because you've had to sell it.
That's what I was about to say. Now, if I have to sell this thing to pay off the balloon payment, it effectively says I don't have a car. So what do I drive around in?
Exactly. So the other option is then you trade in and you just refinance another car. So you land up with another car that you're going to finance over another 5 years.
This is a mess, Maya.
It's a complete mess. It is a complete and utter mess. And I just can't believe that. And I have to, you know, credit, I do think, to many of the banks try actively not to encourage balloon payments. I tend to find most of this is driven through dealerships because obviously the dealer's vested interest isn't selling you the 500, not the 350 car, you know, that you can afford.
Yeah.
So this tends to be it. But I mean, I honestly feel like we should have warning signs out there. I think we should have, you know, like on a smoking packet, you know, when you're buying a car, balloon payment is seriously bad for your finances. You know, do not do this. We should pop all the balloons on the car if you're buying this is going to get you into debt forever and ever and ever. And then the other, so basically, you know, one of the big things I get, so when people hear this podcast, when I write articles, people say to me, okay, Maya, oops, Okay, I was one of those people. I walked in.
I bought it already.
I'm
driving my dream car, but I know I'm faced with a balloon payment in the next couple of, in 2 years' time.
Yeah, and what am I going to do? So one of the things is, as you said, is actually to save towards it. Now, that would be a very sensible strategy. Open up an account linked to your bank account and just start chucking some money in there very quickly so that you've at least got the money to settle the balloon payment. The other option
Also, sorry, Maya, just on the planning and putting some money away. Actually, I realized, I think it was yesterday, when someone sent me an email and said, you know what, I'm trying to save for this. I don't know how much, I need. And I don't know how to plan around this. So let's take this example, 150,000 rand. You know that 150,000 is due in the next 2 years. Break that down and say, how much would I need to save per month to reach my goal of 150,000. I find that sometimes people are a bit disconnected to the planning process of, that payment they know that is waiting for them. So yeah, for me, that's my
choice. And just by the way, it's about 6,000 rand a month. So I quickly pulled out my calculator whilst you were speaking.
So an extra 6,000. Okay, I don't know. Yeah.
So maybe you couldn't afford the 11,400. So you now suddenly you've got to fork in an extra 6,000 to catch up in the next 2 years. Yeah. But the other option is, and this is one that's really, really important to understand, is that you can pay extra into your car repayment. So a lot of people, when they get a bit of extra cash or they feel over indebted, too much is going to their car repayments, they try and accelerate those car repayments. But if you just simply increase your installments, so say you go from 9,000, whatever it was, 700, and you start adding, add another 1,000 rand in, all it is going to do is reduce the 350,000 that you're financing over those 5 years. So it will...
It's not touching the balloon payment.
Not at all. That 150,000 stays totally untouched unless you call the bank or the financing house and you say, I want to put 1,000 rand away extra into my balloon payment. I want you to allocate it to the balloon and not to my monthly installments. That is the only way that you can target that balloon payment. So this is what I'm finding is a lot of people saying, but Maya, I don't understand. I've been paying an extra every month. And when I ask my settlement figure, it's still showing that balloon payment. It's done nothing to the balloon payment. It won't. What it will do is it will reduce your time. So maybe you'll reduce it from 5 years down to 4 years. But all that means is at the end of 4 years, you now
owe 150,000.
And that disconnect I'm picking up as well. People thinking, I've come to 4 years, my car should be paid off. And then they find out that no, that doesn't mean the balloon.
No, you still have 150,000 waiting for you.
Exactly. So what's very important is that if you want, I would really, if I was in someone's situation with a balloon payment, I would right now go and increase my repayments and contact the bank and say, I want you to target that balloon payment with it. Because accept that you're in the contract for 5 years, accept that you're going to be paying the car off for 5 years, but at least get to the end of that 5 year period without that massive 150,000 rand sitting over your head. Yeah. Waiting to take away all your, think about how much you can do with 150,000 rand is all I'm saying. So
It's
a lot of money. If I say I'd done the 6,000 rand a month in 2 years' time, I had built 150,000. I would be paying it not for a new car. It's not like I'd have a new car in the driveway. No, I would be just paying off the frigging thing I've been driving for the last 5 years. Exactly. There's no more enjoyment. You're not paying for something. And I think, Mapula, there's such a good point you've made. You're not getting enjoyment out of it. And somebody said to me the other day, your new car becomes a second-hand car the minute your friends see it for the second time. And I think there's a lot to be said in that. We spend all this money and we forfeit our future finances and we do balloon payments and all of these things to drive a car that you impress our friends. And then we land up having to pay this 150,000 rand later when that car is no longer got that new car feel that's making me feel good. And now just becomes a sacrifice. And you've really got to think about these kinds of things when you enter into agreements.
No, absolutely. I mean, a balloon payment is such a terrible idea. I think that's what we're really saying here. It's a terrible, terrible financial disaster waiting to happen.
I think if I had to say Maya's rules, like rules to live by, the things that should be illegal are balloon payments, overdraft facilities, and only paying the minimum on your credit card every month. Those are like the three.
You know what I'm going to do, Maya? I'm actually going to create something for Instagram for that. Maya's rules for money.
Maya's rules for money. It's like, what should be illegal? It's just they should be illegal. Yeah. We should consider that an illegal act, a sin against our money, a sin against our finances. It's a balloon payment, an overdraft facility, and only paying a minimum on your credit card every month. Those are, if you do those three things, you are guaranteed to be in financial difficulties. That's all I have to say.
Absolutely. But my cars are quite expensive though, aren't they?
We also ran an article in City Press that's going to be on Sunday just about the cost of car ownership. And I think, even a basic entry-level car, if you're financing it.
It's just crazy.
And you know what? It's not just the financing. It's the petrol and the
insurance. The cost of ownership of this car.
Yeah, the cost of ownership. And I think, you know, Maplo, you're talking about people not planning and it's that, those sums as well. And you know, remember we chatted to Sumke, she was on our podcast from the Money Makeover.
When
we sat down and looked at her car affordability. So now I'm talking about what I think is affordable, not the words that dealerships use, okay, when they say you can afford a car. When Maya says you can afford a car. So we said to her, what in your budget could you allocate towards car ownership? And she said 5,000 a month. So in her head, she went to look at, you know, those adverts where it says for only 5,000 rand a month, you can earn this car. So all of those are generally with a residual and they are over 72 months, those adverts. So double check the fine print. So you should only only look at a car maximum 5 years financing. You know, I would love you to be financing over 4 years. I accept it's not always affordable over 5 years. With no balloon payment or residual, then. So that's the financing period. But when she said she can afford 5,000 rand a month, we said, okay. Before we look at the amount that you can pay into financing, first of all, deduct the insurance. So insurance will cost you 800,000 rand a month for insurance, plus petrol.
$1,200 depending.
Yeah, depending. Okay, actually for her it would be because she's younger. The younger drivers pay more. So call it that, plus maybe another 2,000 rand in petrol. So we worked out that she only, I think in the end, she only had 3,600 rand a month of that 5,000 that could actually go to financing costs.
Jeez. And what about when the tire bursts?
Oh, and then when a tire bursts.
You know, all sorts of things that you need to do for the car. I mean, just a simple car wash sometimes, you know, people, we don't factor in that on a weekly basis or whenever you decide.
Maplo, you must have children. You've got your son's.
Well, I have one. Okay.
So my children are my car washers. So we save money.
He's too young.
He's too young.
He's coming. I'm watching
this
it.
This is why we have children, to help them wash my car. So I think that's very important is that if you allocate and you do your budget and you say, I've got 5,000 rand a month. Okay, that's not 5,000 rand a month for the financing. That's 3,600 for the financing. Go find out what your insurance will cost. I have to just tell you, Maplo, I got a terrible email from a young woman talking about insurance this last week. And she said, Maya, I'm a student. I'm uninsured. I have not insured my car and I crashed into someone. She said, their lawyers are after me and I cannot afford this. What can I do? And I'm just like being a mom now. I'm like, what were you thinking not having insurance? This is why you have insurance. She has to repair her own car because she needs transport. And she now has to repair this other car. And there's now lawyers.
It's a secondhand car. So,
yeah.
I mean,
and it doesn't matter. Exactly. And it doesn't matter that the other person's insured. And I think this is a very important point. A lot of people think, the other person's insured. The insurance companies are not coming for you because they're cut for with forking out for people who are not insured. So they're coming for her. The lawyers are coming for her. And her life is, you know, that little life of little student
That's
life
very
that she's trying.
Stressful.
Yeah, she's trying to get her finances in order. And at the age of 24, 25, she's going to be completely derailed. All because she didn't take out insurance. So, I mean, again, this is part of the planning that you have around car ownership. It is just a non-negotiable insurance. I mean, at the very least, I know insurance is expensive. You know, we're talking $1,000, but at the very least, have third-party insurance. So, your third-party insurance
at least
covers the other person. Yeah. So at least if you crash into that Ferrari, you know,
they can go away. You don't have to deal with lawyers.
Yeah.
Then the only thing you have to deal with is how do you get yourself another little car to get around.
Exactly.
But that's why, you know what? I actually just have not bought a car because of this. I just find cars are so expensive, even just an entry level car. I think I can afford like a decentish car, but I just look at just how much it costs. I'm like, all this money going into a mode of transport.
It is, you know, but then again, transport is a very important factor in productivity. So I think sometimes you've got to look at it, and it's funny because whenever somebody wants to justify their 7 Series, they say, well, you know, I need to look good for work. So I'm not saying from that perspective, but obviously, you know, getting around.
Yeah.
And I mean, we have options like Uber. I've done the maths around Uber. If you're driving less than 800 kilometers a month, if you live near work, that's quite a key one. Uber can quite significantly in your favor. But the minute you're driving, like for where I live, for example, if I need to go into town, it's kind of $250 a time for Uber. It's just too prohibitive for me. But for people who live closer to town, then Uber can make sense. And I mean, I look at my young son now, you know, he's going to probably start wanting a car. And from our perspective, it makes no sense because he's got time. He can climb when we've got good bus system. He often jumps on the bus to get into town, and we have cars, so he can always drive one of our cars. So I think a lot of families are also looking at that, saying, you know what, with the way things are with Uber, with bus transport and things like that, we can also just remain when our kids get old enough, they can just use our cars. We don't need to go and buy more cars and add to this incredible expense, and of course polluting the planet. We won't go into that.
No, let's not get into that, Maya, because I mean, now we're going to expose ourselves that we are tree-hugging human beings. Not today. So, I mean, a lot of people have buy cars, and in 5 years' time, they say, you know what? No, it's 5 years. I need a new car. And a lot of people do that. They want to change their car every five years, because, you know, it doesn't have as much value anymore. And it's not as new anymore. It's not the shiny new thing that I bought 5 years ago. So what about that?
Yeah, look, I mean, that's just also in one way, you know, it's a one way financial disaster, because it's exactly this balloon payment kind of trap that people get caught into. Or even if you don't have a balloon payment, so you're basically buying into car finance. So, you know, if I take you're buying into 9,000 rand a month for the rest of your life. I mean, that's just, to me, there's a ludicrousy there. So our household, what I do is I financed my first car, and that was a long time ago, but now we buy cash. So you can build yourself into a position where you actually buy an entry-level car with cash. And then you just keep saving, you know, the opposite of, and so instead of spending that installment every month to the bank, which of most of its interest, you actually start saving for it, and you can basically exit that whole car finance trap. So, and the other thing is that what we do, look, I think that one has to understand, if you're buying a really entry level little cheapy car, the likelihood of it lasting 15 years is not that high. But the minute you're buying up into the brands or up into the models, you know, my last car I kept till it was 13. So I think we bought it when it was 3 years old. I only buy secondhand. We can do a whole show on why, how much money you save. Basically, you save 40% of the share of the price of the car by buying it 3 years old.
Yes. Hopefully, you bought it from. It was a solid one, because I mean,
well, yeah, I buy Volvos. So people think, oh, you drive a Volvo, you must be very rich. Well, I bought the Volvo for the same price as a Toyota Corolla. So, you know, that's what you do. And then I held it till it was 13 years old. So I think those are the kinds of ways people also just need to get out of that trap. Oh, and I must add, this is my biggest one, my biggest bugbear but what about the motor plan? Guys, you pay for the motor plan. If you went to the car dealer, a brand new car, and you said, I don't want a motor plan, guess what? They would drop your price, because it's built into the price of the car.
Why do people think, you know, I always find that, especially with dealerships or anything for that matter, people are like, no, but what about this? What about that? but you are paying for it.
You pay for everything. There's no such thing as a free lunch. You know, or free service.
And they didn't just think, oh no, you bought this nice car, so it comes with a motor play and that's free. No, you're actually paying for it.
You pay for it. It's in that price. And what we discovered, because we now buy secondhand cars, when it exits the motor plan, we take it to an affiliated workshop. So we don't take it to the dealership. And we literally drop our costs by 40% because those dealerships are so expensive to service cars. That's apparently where they make all their money. So they often will discount the car to you. They don't make as big a markup on the car, but they make all their money on the services that follow. So just, you know, just break away from the sales pitch and start thinking about these things. Find out if you can get and there is legislation coming out possibly to force the dealers not, you know, in terms of insurers and that you don't have to take your car anymore to the dealership to be repaired or still within warranty, even if you take it to an affiliated workshop. So a lot of those are, you know, those things are changing as well. And so you don't have to get caught into that really, really expensive dealership service plan. And that's, again, you know, people just aren't informed because nobody's informing them, I suppose. The person they're going to for the information is the dealer. And there's a lot
invested
in the dealer selling you a car that you can't afford plus a service plan that you have to service your car at the dealer.
Yeah. Can I tell you that the dealership never called me again after I went there? After I told them I don't want a balloon payment, this is my fixed price, I don't want anything else outside of that. They never phoned me.
Really? They decided you couldn't afford a car. Then that. Oh, I can tell you. It doesn't make sense.
So do not, again, like you were saying, Maya, do not buy into the sales pitch.
Don't buy into the sales pitch. Yeah. So I think we're going to sum up. Don't buy into the sales pitch. Mm-hmm. If you needed a balloon payment, you can't afford the car, buy a cheaper car. So that's a wrap for today. If our listeners would like to learn more about these or any money-related topics, they can go to the City Press website or to your website,
womanandfinance.co.za,
or my website, mayaonmoney.co.za.
And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a WhatsApp voice note to 064-554-3959. And we look forward to hearing from you.
Because we want to know what it is that you want to know. You've been listening to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, featuring contributors of the City Press Personal Finance Pages.